This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
A mayor in Israel has said a major earthquake in Israel is coming and we must be ready. He said the real question is not if it will happen, but when. Recent reports of deadly earthquakes in Turkey, Afghanistan, Russia's Kamchatka region, and even the Mediterranean bases serve as a stark reminder of the threats that preoccupied the Israeli public before the tragic events of October 7th. Israel, situated along the seismically active Syrian-African rift, is far from immune to such disasters. In fact, experts unanimously agree that a major earthquake in Israel is not a possibility, but a certainty. The real question is not if it will happen, but when, and more importantly, whether we are prepared. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and the Bible talks about a great earthquake. In fact, there was a great earthquake at the time of Mount Sinai, where Moses was called to go up to the mount. When it was quaking severely, God had appeared in fire at the top of the mountain in front of all Israel as they had escaped by the hand of Moses from Pharaoh, a type of the Antichrist. They had come out of Egypt, but they were still spiritually in Egypt, and God wanted to get them out of Egypt. The question is whether the shaking would produce enough faith in order for them to trust God and put their confidence in him to enter the promised land. And in fact, they were not able. Only two men out of 600,000 men that faced that unbelievable earthquake and quaking there at Mount Sinai actually entered the promised land. God said the rest of them, 599,998, were not capable of entering because they did not trust God, even in spite of the shaking. So today on Viewpoint, you may wonder where we're headed, and we're going to take a look at earthquakes actually as a kind of metaphor for the spiritual state of our world and where we're going at the end of 2025 and heading into 2026. You see, the mayor, the city of Nesher, sits directly on the Yagur fault line, an active branch of the Syrian-African rift, making it one of the most vulnerable urban areas in Israel. The seismic risk is compounded by the city's architectural history. Hundreds of buildings were constructed in the 1950s and 60s before modern earthquake-resistant building standards were introduced. And so, there is great danger because the danger is further amplified by the proximity to sensitive infrastructure, such as petrochemical facilities in the Haifa Bay area. So, it's an emergency situation. It's not a matter of whether the earthquake is going to happen, but when. And as the mayor said, the real issue is, are we ready? He said, we must be ready. So the question that hovers over each one of us today as we enter into 2026 and conclude our journey through 2025 is, are we ready? You say, ready for what? Well, you could say ready for the great shaking. The Bible says there's going to be a great shaking. You can read about it in the book of Hebrews. There's going to be a great shaking. Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, one of the signs of his coming would be preceded by great shaking, earthquakes, not only famines, not only pestilence, but earthquakes in many places. Well, earthquakes are not necessarily an odd phenomenon in our world. Not odd at all, in fact. They occur by the thousands every year. I personally have experienced, was introduced to California in the midst of an earthquake. Very, very shaking, earth-shaking, actually. An earthquake is earth-shaking. If you've ever really been in a real earthquake, you know what I mean. But the problem is, that Israel, even though they were in the midst of an earth-shaking experience there at Mount Sinai, where they enter into covenant with God, they were not ready to enter the promised land. They just weren't ready. The shaking was not enough. The Bible says that in the end of the age, there's going to be a great shaking. But for most, it will still not be enough. In fact, the Bible says that the shaking is going to be so great that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. The great cities of the world are going to fall. It still won't be enough for most. So again, the mayor there in Israel is right when he says we must be ready. But the question is, are we ready? The question is not whether the earthquake is going to take place. The question is when. So today on Viewpoint, we shape the balance of the program around that theme, and I'm glad that you've joined us. This conversation is always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and I think you're going to find that what we talk about here today on the program is going to be quite interesting, fascinating, actually, for some who are not prepared in mind, heart, and so on, not ready to face that kind of shaking. That kind of change. But Jesus said it's going to be like that. In fact, he put it differently. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it's going to be before my coming. What was it like in the days of Noah? Well, it was horrible. Crime, wickedness encompassed the earth. Gross darkness, the people. It was so bad that God said, look, I cannot handle this anymore. These people that I have created, they have made a mockery of my creation. They've made a mockery of me, and I'm going to away with them. And so he sent a flood. He saved a remnant of eight people led by Noah who built an ark. In that instance, the flood was like an earthquake, and there was a remedy. There was a way to prepare, build an ark. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus said, it's going to be just like that when I come again. Well, what was that like? Well, it was the moral depravity, the absolute moral depravity of Sodom and Gomorrah. And therefore, they were shaking their fists against God. It was as ungodly a situation as you could imagine, much like America today, much like the Western world today. And God, in his mercy, sent an angel to take Lot, the nephew of Abraham, out of there together with his wife and his daughters, to take them out of there because absolute cataclysmic destruction was going to come upon them. And it did. Even this week, news has come confirming that that's exactly what happened there in Sodom and Gomorrah. So when we talk about all of these things in the context of biblical prophecy, maybe we should take a look at what's happening, what's happened here in 2025. And then where do we go from here? Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Let's take a look here, looking backward over 2025 and see at least what the opinion of some is concerning the prophetic signs, highlights of the year, and where they may be leading us. An article came out written by Jeff Bayard out in Richmond, Virginia today, and he says, These are the prophetic highlights of 2025. Signs converging, hope rising. Israel isolated. A martyr silenced. The signs accelerating. Yet believers have never had more reason to look up. Why? Because if you don't look up, you're not going to realize that your redemption draweth nigh, even amid the shaking occurring around. The year 2025 wasn't just another trip around the sun. For those who know Scripture and watch the times, it was a watershed moment in biblical prophecy, he writes. From Israel's continued struggle for survival to the assassination of a bold Christian voice, from technological control to spiritual awakening. The year confirmed what many watchmen have been declaring for decades. The return of Jesus Christ is not that far away. Now, when these things begin to happen, Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws nigh. So there's a cause for looking up, not looking down, but looking up. So would you like to know where we are in God's timeline? Look to Israel. In 2025, the world watched as the Jewish state fought for survival while the nations turned against her. Iran launched attacks. The United Nations demanded a two-state solution that would divide the land God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which the prophet Joel had warned about. God said through the prophet Joel that I'm going to bring the nations into the valley of Jehoshaphat to judge them for how they parsed or divided my land. The Trump administration took decisive action against Iran's nuclear sites. Living hostages were released, but the world's hostility only intensified. Israel might be winning the war against Hamas and Hezbollah, said one, but they lost the PR war with the rest of the world. Why? Because the world doesn't like Israel. In fact, the world hates Israel. They were chosen by God, and the rest of the world is envious and said, we're not going to put up with that. This wasn't just political theater. It was the fulfillment of Zechariah 12. All the nations of the earth would be gathered against Jerusalem. Since 1948, when Israel became a nation again after 2,600 years of dispersion, the prophetic clock began ticking. You can read in Ezekiel 36 and 37 that foretold that the dead nation would come again, would come alive. You remember, the head bone connected to the neck bone and so on. Ezekiel 37. Then, in September of 2025, one day before the anniversary of 9/11, Charlie Kirk was assassinated while speaking on a university campus. Why might that be important? Well, the 31-year-old Christian apologist became the most prominent Christian martyr in our generation, certainly in the West. One called Kirk's death an inflection point where we seem to be at a crossroads spiritually as a nation. The assassination, he said, exposed the depth of hatred toward Christ and his followers. But it also ignited something powerful, a remnant of believers. So, where does all this fit? These are just some of the things that talking about. For decades, prophecy teachers pointed to individual signs of the times, birth pains. I remember back in the early 1980s when I had launched my own law office, after 4 years of preparation there in Los Angeles in another office. And I told my secretary that I was going to open a new file. It wasn't a file for legal cases. It was a file called Prophecy in the Making. Prophecy in the Making. And every few months, I would find an article that managed to find its way into that file. Every few months. Now, friends, it's every day. Every day, not just one or two articles, many articles. And so I can't even keep that file open anymore. It's been a long time since I could keep that file open because it's incapable of housing all of that information. In fact, in my files here, in the broadcast studio are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documents, articles, divided into probably 75 or 100 different categories, all related to the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And so we're in a time when it's like the convergence of things. It's not isolated events taking place out there, no longer isolated events. They're happening simultaneously, escalating in speed and severity, just as Jesus pointed out in Matthew 24, where he talked about deception. And certainly we see that deception massively every day. You'd have to have one eye closed. You'd have to be blind in one eye and refuse to see out of the other to not see that exactly that's what's happening. Deception, corruption everywhere. And then also wars and rumors of wars. We see those, don't we? Just yesterday, our president in Mar-a-Lago met not only with, in the last 2 days, met only not only with Mr. Zelensky in Ukraine, but also Benjamin Netanyahu. Two completely different major war of nations issues, all in 2 days. It's happening very, very quickly, friends. Israel surrounded by enemies, spiritual deception spreading, persecution intensifying, technology enabling control of the world, moral collapse accelerating, the West is repaganizing rapidly, birth pains increasing in frequency and intensity. They're not random, they're prophetic, and they're all happening right in front of our eyes. So, that having been said, now, we want to go forward and revert back to the matter of earthquakes. That's what we're going to look at for the balance of the program here today, and I'm glad that you've joined us, as always. The matter of earthquakes is a big deal, a very, very big deal. In fact, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken. So we're told in the book of Hebrews to have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that we are not come to Mount Sinai, where it was shaken before all of Israel, 2.5 million people, shaken at the foot of Mount Sinai, a place where they could not come because or touch it, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it would be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible, says the book of Hebrews, was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, that puts the concept of the fear of the Lord in a very different picture than just awesome or respect. No, it was true fear. The Apostle Paul put it differently. He said, "Here, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." So it's not a plaything. This coming of the Lord is not a plaything. It's something to prepare for because there's going to be a great shaking. But the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, but we are not come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living, but we're come to Mount Zion unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. See then that ye refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, that's in your Bible. It's not talked about, it's not preached about much because it doesn't seem to market well. And we can understand that, why it doesn't market well. But that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. And Jesus made manifest that that was going to happen. And it was revealed to the writer of Hebrews. It was also revealed to the prophets of the Old Testament. And so, when the mayor of Nesher in Israel says a major earthquake in Israel is coming and we have to be ready, it's as if it's not just a word for Israel, but actually, in a metaphorical way, even a prophetic way, it's saying Israel's going to be shaken and we better be ready. But God is saying the whole world's going to be shaken and you better be ready. So the real question is not if it will happen, but when. So we're going to take a look at what has been happening with regard to earthquakes and so on. It's a tremendous seismic thing. Now, you may not realize it, but America is set to experience an earthquake tonight at midnight. Did you know that? America is actually set to experience an earthquake tonight. It's an incredible earthquake. In fact, it is so incredible that 8 million people are going to be involved and suffer through it. And it will just be the beginning of the danger for those 8 million people. Now, do I have your attention yet? Hopefully so. Because at midnight tonight, a Muslim, dedicated radical Muslim, is going to be sworn in as the New York City mayor. Midnight tonight. Expected to be a disruptive New York mayor. He's not only a Muslim, but he's a socialist. Maybe a communist. For his first day in office on Thursday, nod to his politics and priorities without straying far from his predecessors, with a sober official midnight oath-taking followed by a more celebratory ceremony in the afternoon. New York laws spell out that the four-year mayoral terms start on January 1st after elections. So, to avoid any ambiguity about who's in charge of America's most populous city, it has become a tradition to hold a small midnight swearing-in. So Mamdani was chosen as the site of his midnight oath in the old City Hall subway stop, which was decommissioned in the middle of the previous century and is accessible only a few times a year through guided tours. What will do? What will it do? Mamdani inspired a record-breaking turnout of more than 2 million voters and took 50%, nearly 10 points ahead of Andrew Cuomo, running as an independent, and well ahead of a Republican, Curtis Sliwa. So, that's where we're going, and New York State Attorney General Letitia James, among Mamdani's earliest prominent backers, was to administer the midnight oath to Mamdani. You know about her. You know about her radical positions. And so America, beginning tonight at midnight, is going to experience an earthquake, a political earthquake, perhaps a spiritual earthquake, among 8 million people in our largest city. What will the implications be for our country and for the world? This is a political seismic event of unprecedented proportions. We'll be back. Stay tuned. An Israeli company said it could happen tomorrow or the next 5 minutes. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we're likening the events that are happening, are going to happen, and that we should look forward to in 2026 as likened to an earthquake. According to an article that came out recently, it could happen tomorrow or in the next 5 minutes. An Israeli company offers a solution with seismic detection algorithms. Scientists warn a potential major earthquake and amid prolonged tensions as Israel has continued in its conflict there with Gaza, the nation faces another looming threat, earthquakes. Periodic tremors serve as a reminder of the ever-moving tectonic plates beneath the region. While most of them have been relatively minor, scientists caution that a massive earthquake could cause significant destruction in the near future. They say seismic events, significant seismic events, usually follow a cycle. The last major one occurred in Jericho in 1927. Given this 100-year cycle, we're due for another any time now, they say. A massive earthquake with a magnitude of 6 or 7 would have dramatic effects in Israel, particularly along the Jordan Valley, reaching all the way to Jerusalem. The exact timing is unpredictable. It could happen tomorrow or in the next 5 minutes, said the writer of this article, a scientist. Well, it could. Now, I don't particularly believe that the second coming of Christ could happen tomorrow. I believe it can happen soon. How soon? We don't know. We're told we don't know the day or the hour, but we should know the season. In fact, Jesus admonished, in fact, almost mocked the religious leaders of his day who didn't seem to have a clue about the signs of the times. And he said, how is it that you guys can understand that a red sky in the morning is a sailor's warning, a red sky at night is a sailor's delight, and you can't even discern the times? What kind of leaders are you, he said. Well, it could be the same. Jesus could say exactly the same thing to us today. What kind of Christians are you? What kind of leaders are you? What kind of pastors are you? And so on. Not preparing, not getting ready. So, I don't necessarily, a lot of people believe that the coming of Jesus Christ is imminent, meaning it could be in the next 5 minutes. I don't necessarily believe that because there's too much prophetic prophecy that needs to be fulfilled, notwithstanding what many evangelical leaders say, because they bought into a certain theological construct that requires them to say that. They have to say that if they believe in that theological construct, particularly if they believe in a pre-trib rapture. So what we do have to do is get ready. We have to be ready for whenever he comes. And Jesus said at the end of the book of Revelation, behold, I come quickly. Well, quickly for God's perspective is different than ours. You see, when Jesus was crucified and rose again, it was about the year 30 AD. So 2,000 years or 2 days quickly after that would put us at 2030 AD, wouldn't it? Though I'm not saying Jesus would come at 2030 AD, but we're looking at a general season now, okay? A general season So that might get our attention. You don't know the day or the hour. You don't know the exact time when the earthquake is coming, but Israel knows that the big one is coming. California knows that the big one is coming because of the San Andreas fault as well, but does very little about it. So we move on to take a further look. There are many powerful tremors felt in Israel. In fact, on Wednesday, one originated near Cyprus that refocused public attention on how such events impact the country, that could cause tsunami waves, that could affect the Mediterranean coastlines and coastal cities. An earthquake occurring in Greece or Cyprus would barely affect Israel. But how about one that occurs right there, running up the fault line, the African Rift Syrian fault line that runs right up through the Jordan River Valley? Now, that might make a difference. So Israel should have prepared substantially for earthquakes. Yet in reality, only 87 schools across risk zones have been strengthened from 1,600 functionally regionally. Five of seven hospitals failed to meet protective requirements. These numbers persist despite a 2008 decision allocating 3.5 billion shekels, or $987 million, addressing concerns over 25 years. In other words, they pretended to get ready, but aren't getting ready. They thought about getting ready, much like the church has thought about getting ready, but isn't quite convinced that we need to get ready. What would it take? What would it take to convince us? Well, that's the question that hovers over our conversation here today on Viewpoint. Now, let's take a look at where things are with regard to the seismic or tectonic fault lines so that we can understand this a little bit more there in Israel. The major fault line running through Israel is the Dead Sea Transform Fault System, also known as the Jordan Rift Valley. It's a significant boundary separating the African plate and the Arabian plate that's responsible for most of Israel's seismic activity, since it creates valleys, lakes like the Sea of Galilee, and influences the landscape from Turkey down to the Red Sea. Oh, so what does Turkey have to do with this? Well, let's take a look. Would you be interested? The Jerusalem Post. Turkey averaged 6 earthquakes an hour in 2025. One of its most seismically active years on record. Of these earthquakes, most were harmless, but several were strong enough to deal structural damage to buildings or other property. We read about them earlier. Turkey experienced more than 53,000 earthquakes over the past year, averaging 6 earthquakes every hour, according to the Turkish newspaper, Turkey Today. Of these earthquakes, more than 500 were above magnitude 4, meaning that they could be perceived by humans nearby. Most were harmless. Several were strong enough to deal structural damages. The most active province of Turkey during this time was Balıkesir, with approximately 21,000 earthquakes over a 4.5-month period, including 2 of magnitude 6.1 in August and September. The rest were mostly below magnitude 4. A seismic earthquake, which occurred in Turkey, was April's magnitude 6.2 tremor off the coast of Silivri near Istanbul. The earthquake risk around Istanbul, a city of more than 15 million people, remains high. While the quantity of earthquakes was high, human casualties were remarkably low, with only 3 recorded deaths and fewer than 600 injuries. However, Turkey is where the fault line entering Israel begins from the north. But that's not the only one that's involved. The other one is called the African Rift seismic region, the fault system. So the African and Arabian tectonic plates slide kind of horizontally past each other, which actually causes major tectonic stress there in Israel. It cuts through Israel, forming the Jordan Valley, the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee, that is Kinneret, and extends north into Lebanon and Syria and south to the Gulf of Aqaba. That fault system is the primary source of earthquakes in the region, with segments capable of generating large damaging quakes of magnitude 7 or more in the Richter scale. Now, I've experienced a 5.6, 5.8 in the Richter scale earthquake that broke our chimney in Pasadena, California, split our ceilings and our walls, causing us to have to completely plaster our ceilings and walls. That was about 5.6 earthquake. I can hardly imagine what a 7-plus earthquake would mean. Then there are also related faults, like the Carmel-Zifra fault, that contribute to the complex seismicity within Israel. So, let me make this a little bit clearer in terms of the location there. When you find the confluence of these fault lines going up through Israel from south to north, from the African Rift all the way north, and then you have another major fault line coming down from the north to meet up with it in Israel, you got a problem. But that's not the only problem. There are several other smaller tectonic plates crossways across Israel. And guess what? They all seem to converge at approximately the same area. Now, if that were to take place, what do you think might happen seismically? What size of earthquake do you think might take place? I mean, just guessing as a layperson, since you know that San Francisco had a major earthquake back in 1906 that just about destroyed the whole city. I think it was like 6 point on the Richter scale. There was another big one in Oakland that destroyed, I believe it was a San Francisco Giant Stadium. So we have all of these experiences, but God says there's a big one coming. There's a big one coming on earth, and then there's a bigger one coming from heaven. Can you imagine that? The question is, are we even halfway ready in our own minds and hearts and spiritually to sustain that kind of shaking? We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Today we're looking at what has happened in 2025 prophetically, and then also what is happening with regard to what Jesus said in Matthew 24 about the pains, the birth pangs of the coming of the Lord. of the return of Christ. And one of those happens to be earthquakes in many areas. But it's not just earthquakes in many areas that we should be concerned about. It's earthquakes in Israel. Because that is God's chosen place. That's the place where the people that God chose need to be shaken. And as they're shaken, so will the church be shaken everywhere. That is, professing Christians are going to experience shaking. And when the rain falls on the just, it's going unjust, it's also going to fall on the just. So the just shall live by faith, not by fear, but by faith. So we must be prepared. So let me bring this a little closer to home in one sense. Not that we live in Israel, but to help us to understand where these fault lines connect. The main earthquake source in Israel is what is called the Dead Sea Fault and its branches, one of which is the Carmel-Zifra Fault. Now, Mount Carmel is the place where Elijah confronted the 400 prophets of Baal. Remember that? And they were destroyed. And then Elijah ran for his life because Queen Jezebel was out to kill him because he had destroyed her prophets that were unbiblical, ungodly. And Jezebel was the most ungodly woman in the Bible, perhaps more ungodly than Eve, and perhaps more ungodly than Athaliah. Those were the main ungodly women of the Bible. So this Carmel-Zifra fault, where is that? Well, Mount Carmel is up the Mediterranean coast, and it oversees what is called the Jezreel Valley. Now, the Jezreel Valley is another name for the Valley of Armageddon. Oh, now I have your attention, right? The Jezreel Valley is another name for the 180-mile-long Valley of Armageddon. And the epicenter for that is Tel Megiddo, the hill of Megiddo that is right under, so to speak, as you look down from Mount Carmel toward the east, you see Tel Megiddo, and the Valley of Armageddon, the Jezreel Valley. As we speak right now, Zion Oil and Gas, started by John Brown, a Christian from Dallas, Texas, 30-some years ago, has a 90-acre lease with the Nation of Israel for drilling for oil. Now, they made many efforts over the years, raised millions and millions of dollars, mostly from Christians, because John Brown was convinced that ultimately oil would be found in that general location. He bases it upon several passages of Scripture. We're not going to go into that today. And so even as we speak now, they are in the process of drilling, even amid the wars that have been going on and the attacks from Hezbollah in the north and from Iran and Gaza and all of that. They're still moving forward. Have they found oil yet? No. But is oil there to be found? Yes. How do we know that? Because the petrogeologists of the world absolutely know there's oil under Israeli ground. They just don't know how to get it. And they've considered it was too expensive to try to get it, so they've gone elsewhere to try to find it. John Brown says, no. This is where I believe God has instructed me to go. We'll see whether he is absolutely true, right, or not in his expectations. So I'm not here to preach the gospel of John Brown. On the other hand, what I want to point out is that oil can be released through tectonic activity. What areas of the world seem to have the greatest oil? Well, Venezuela has a lot of oil. Russia has a lot of oil. But other than that, other than America, Venezuela, and Russia, what area of the world seems to have the most oil and gas? It's the Middle East, friends, isn't it? Saudi Arabia, Iran, Libya, those areas have the oil. And they actually largely determine the price of oil that you get at the pump. Golda Meir, the early prime minister of Israel, joked about how is it that all these Arab nations have all the oil and we have such bare land? It isn't going to be that way forever. John Brown is convinced of that. And so he has invested his life and worked to gather together efforts to bless Israel with drilling for oil and believes that one day they'll find it. Okay, how might that be? If indeed oil has been made available by God through the Arab nations surrounding Israel, would it not be just like God to at one point decide, okay, enough of that. I am now going to release and show my power and my blessing to Israel. How might that happen? Well, not just by drilling. I don't believe that just by drilling is going to happen. But what I do believe, and I'm not preaching this as doctrine, I don't say, thus saith the Lord, I'm saying this is what I am prone to believe, that there's going to be a major tectonic event. A major tectonic event that is going to cause the fissures of oil to be released from well deep under the earth of Israel, just as they have discovered gas in the 50-mile zone off the Mediterranean coast of massive proportions. One day, tectonic shift, major tectonic shift, will change the history of the world. And when that happens, it will precipitate more actions, tectonic actions, but of a different kind. Wars and rumors of wars, because the nations that have controlled the world through oil and gas will now have a major competitor which will change the economic complexion of the entire energy sources of the world, will seriously affect their economies and set up the event for the attack on Israel by a collection of nations prophesied in Ezekiel 38. Just suggesting tectonic activity can be used by God for profound prophetic significance. Earthquakes in Israel, including potential ones in 2025, are primarily caused by the Dead Sea Transform Fault System, a major boundary between the Arabian Plate and African Plate, and also branches like the Yagur Fault and the Carmel-Zifra Fault, all part of the larger Syrian-African Rift. These tectonic plates shift, generating stress released as earthquakes, capable of producing large, damaging quakes. That comes from the inevitable and always faithful wisdom of artificial intelligence called AI. The main system running from Turkey down to the Red Sea is responsible for most seismic activity in the region. So when we saw all that tectonic activity taking place in Turkey that we talked about just a little earlier, it should give us fair warning that indeed the circumstances are ripe as the leaders of Israel, who are not really prepared, or saying we must be prepared, but we're not prepared, are saying it's happening, it's going to happen sooner than later. Let's get ready. So what does Jesus say? What does the Bible say to us? Well, since there's going to be a great shaking, as Jesus said, and as the writer of Hebrews said, God's voice then shook the earth at Mount Sinai, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So, since we're supposed to receive a word which cannot be shaken, so that we may remain, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, that's God's enabling power, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. That, my friends, is the spiritual warning coming from God for our times. People get ready. People get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be coming home. These are the events that have to happen before he comes. There's going to be a great shaking. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And it's not going to follow Elvis Presley's I'm All Shook Up. No, this is going to be God's promise. The whole world is going to be shook up. Not very good English, but the whole world is going to be shook up. Now, because the emphasis is put so much there on the fear of the Lord, I want to make available to you my book, The Secret of the Lord. The Secret of the Lord is based on Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them who fear him, and to them he will show his covenant. So, if you want to find out what the promises of God that are all premised on the fear of the Lord are, you might want to get a hold of this book. It's a very hope-filled book. It really is. It shows that every single promise of God, including redemption itself, salvation itself, is predicated on the fear of the Lord. And because we have not understood that, we're not prepared. The majority of professing Christians are not prepared. They will capitulate when persecution comes because they fear man more than God. That's why they won't be prepared when the great shaking comes. Get a copy of the book. It's a $23 hardbound book, yours for, I think it's $15 on our website, $15 or $18. I can't see it right now. But you need to get a copy of it because it's going to be so helpful. It's $15, hardbound book. Saveus.org, call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, write to us. And by the way, the offer that we have made during the month of December is available through the end of this, of December 31st. All 11 of my books for the very small sum of $154 plus $18 postage and handling. If you'd like to get a hold of that, give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Go to the website immediately. There's a special place where you can order that set. You order it today, you'll have it. Don't be late. Or give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Many people have done this, seeing the value of it. I hope you will do it. In order to get all of those books for such a very low price. So you can be filtered. Feel free to give them. Do it today and become a partner, friends, preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. God bless and be a blessing as we wrap up this year and move into the next with hope and faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.